guys. Hopefully everyone today is well rested, able to take advantage of the change of the clock. I usually find that you end up sleeping less on the night that they change the clock somehow. But anyway, we read in the parasha yesterday, so the Torah speaks about the sale of the Bechorah that Esav sold, the birthright, his right to the Bechorah and all that it entailed to Yaakov. So the Torah tells us that at the end of that incident, it says that Yaakov nosam le'esav lechem u'nezid adoshim, that Yaakov gave to Esav bread and soup, lentils, v'yochal v'yesh v'yochem v'yelach. It says that Esav ate and he drank and he got up and he left. V'yivez Esav es ha'bechorah. And Esav degraded the Bechorah. In other words, the institution of the Bechorah, everything that it entailed, being the Bechor, was degraded by Esav by the fact that he simply did away with it, that he just sold it for a relatively small amount of goods in exchange. And this is, the Torah uses the expression, Vayivez Esav es ha-Bechorah, that he degraded it, it was a disgrace, that he has the opportunity to have all these great, the mitzvahs that are included in being the Bechor, and he gave it all away for almost nothing. So I thought that this would be an appropriate time to speak about a topic which is relevant to the performance of mitzvahs, and a lot of the mitzvahs that we do, and that is the topic of Bizui Mitzvah. We've spoken in the past about the idea of Hidur Mitzvah, that there is an idea that Zekeli Banveu, that a person is supposed to go to lengths to beautify mitzvahs, to try to do mitzvahs in the nicest way and to glorify them. And here we come to a discussion of really the opposite, that there are certain things that a person should not do. Some of them are obvious, others are not, that a person should not do when it comes to performing a mitzvah. So I would like to begin with a little bit of an understanding of where this comes from. And the source for the idea that one should not degrade mitzvahs, and we're going to see that degrading mitzvahs, bizui mitzvah, the word bizui from the word bizoyon, to disgrace, the concept of bizui mitzvah includes a lot of different aspects, doing the mitzvah in a degrading way, trying to use the mitzvah for your own purposes, etc. The source for the whole concept of bizui mitzvah in the Torah is found in Parshas Achrimos, and I want to apologize for the poor quality of the handouts today. There were certain technical difficulties that made it the way they are. But the Torah tells us in Parshas Achrimos, which we'll read in a few months, the Torah tells us that there is a mitzvah associated with shechita, that when shechita is performed, when a bird or an animal is taken and slaughtered, so we have the mitzvah of shechita. In certain circumstances, there is a mitzvah which accompanies it called kisui hadam. Kisui hadam means that the blood that pours out from the bird has to be covered up with dirt. That there's a special mitzvah in the Torah that the blood should not just be left lying around, the blood should be covered up with dirt. This mitzvah, the Torah tells us, is by birds and by chayos. It is not by regular domesticated animals like cows. But the pasuk in Parshas Achrimos tells us the following. The pasuk tells us, it says, the ishish mibnei Yisrael minageret ar besocham. The Torah says that any Jew asher yotzot teit chayo ol asher yotzot, who captures a bird or a wild animal, those that are kosher, and he slaughters it. V'shafach es damo, so the blood will pour out. He pours out the blood. V'chiso v'ofer, should be covered in dirt. So we have in a relatively simple thing. This is a mitzvah. It's not one of the famous mitzvahs because you have to be at a shechita to be able to do it. And typically, it's the mitzvah. Really, the mitzvah of covering up the blood is a mitzvah on the shochet. The practice is very often that if one is present when a shechita is done, the shochet may give you the opportunity and say you want to, here's a chance to do one of the mitzvahs that you don't usually come across. But nonetheless, this is a mitzvah of kisui hadam. So the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, and this is on the first page here that we have on Daf Chaf Beis and Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara makes a remarkable drasha on these psukim. And the Gemara says, and I believe I underlined it, it's almost halfway down the page in the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Tanya says, the Braisa states as follows, V'shofach v'chisa, there is apparently a Zerah Shava, there's a drasha being made by the fact that it says, V'shofach as damol, that the blood will be poured out, and then it will be covered up in dirt. So the Gemara says, V'masha shofach yechase, that from this we learn out that with which the blood is poured out should be the same thing that it should be covered with. What does this mean? Says the Gemara, Shelo yechasenu beregel, that the shochet, or whoever is doing this mitzvah, should not cover up the blood with his foot. Meaning that when the shechita takes place, so the blood pours out, and the shochet makes, you know, or takes care that some of the blood should be poured out in a certain spot, and then we have the mitzvah to go ahead and cover it up. So let's say it would fall on the floor. So one might be tempted to just take his foot and just, you know, with this dirt on the floor, so I'll just take my foot and kick some dirt over the blood. So the Gemara here tells us a drasha learned out from a pasuk, which according to the Achronim is a din d'oraisa, that the shochet is not allowed to do that, but rather he has to take with his hand, he has to pick up dirt and place the dirt on the blood. And the reason for this is, says the Gemara, shelo yehu mitzvos bezuyos alav, in order that the mitzvah should not be degrading to him, should not be degraded by him. In other words, you're doing a mitzvah. So if you're doing a mitzvah, this is something that requires respect. So even though it may be convenient to do it a certain way, like in this case, it would be very convenient for the shochet, especially, you know, if he's busy and he has a shechitas going on constantly, different things, so it may be convenient for him to just take his leg and kick some dirt onto the blood and thereby fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah. So the Gemara tells us here that this usher is prohibited for the shochet to do such a thing. He cannot do this. This is what's derived from this pasuk, because it says v'shafach v'chiso, that which was poured out the blood, that which was used to pour out the blood, namely his hand, should be what is used to cover the blood. This is what the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos. And we find, if you turn over to the other side of the page, the Rambam in the Hilchos Shechita, when the Rambam says over this halacha, so again I apologize for the way it came out, but the Rambam says, he says in Halacha Tezayin, the Rambam says, "Ukeshem Echaseh," when the shochet covers over the blood, lo yechaseh beraglo, he should not do it with his leg, elo biyado, either, but he should do it rather with his hand, o besakin, o bekli, or with a knife, or with any other vessel. Kidei shelo yinog minas bezoyin b'mitzvahs, in order that he should not practice a degrading type of practice, like a disrespectful type of practice with the mitzvahs. The yiyu bezuyos alav. It seems a little bit of unclear exactly what the Rambam means here, but I think what he means is that if a person does that, it may actually impact on him that he'll lose respect. In other words, if you're doing something important, you don't act like that. So therefore, the Rambam tells us, this is coming from the Gemara, that in order that the mitzvah should be treated with respect, he has to do it respectfully. But the Rambam adds, She'ein ha'kovod la'atzman shel mitzvahs. This honor is not being given to the mitzvah itself, but rather, elu l'mi she'tziva v'hen baruch hu. This is an honor that's given to God. In other words, this is an honor of the mitzvah. Hashem gave us the mitzvahs. And the Rambam says, V'tilonu milamashish v'choshech, that the mitzvahs are lights which guide us through light. Right? The mitzvahs save us from just groping in the darkness. Right? Life is so complex and so challenging that the mitzvahs give us a direction and a purpose. And Hashem gave us the mitzvah that it should be a light, that we should be able to straighten out our actions, lahoros nesivos hayosher, to determine what is the true path that a person should go upon. So therefore, we have this idea that a mitzvah should be treated with respect, because this is an acknowledgement of the fact that the mitzvahs were given. It's not, you know, you get caught up in the daily grind, so a person, you have to do this mitzvah and that mitzvah, so you have to put on the tefillin, you have to put on a talis, this and that, so you get caught up in life and you sort of lose the focus. It becomes something that we do by rote, and sometimes we lose the respect for it. But a person has to appreciate that the mitzvahs were given by Hashem, and Hashem gave these mitzvahs in order that it should be a guiding light. So therefore, when a mitzvah comes up, it has to be treated with respect. This is a very valuable thing. So it has to be treated with respect, and thus we have the din, the oraisa of bizui mitzvah, that a person has to make sure not to degrade a mitzvah. So I would like to go through practical applications in the poskim where this comes up. There are others. One can, you know, really extrapolate from what I'm saying to other situations. But there are a number of cases which are discussed in the poskim. Okay, so just to take a simple case, not to do a mitzvah in a degrading way. So we have coming up the Yom of Hanukkah, which we're going to speak about soon. So in Hanukkah, the halacha is a person has to light lights. He doesn't really have to light a menorah. Okay, the common way the mitzvah of Hanukkah is done is with the menorah. If one looks in the Gemara, you will see that there is no mention anywhere in the Gemara of the concept of a Hanukkah menorah per se, like we have today. But rather, it was people lit lights, and in the month of the first night, they lit one and two and three and so forth, depending, you know, who did it depended on the minhag, etc. So the question is, if a person wants to light the Hanukkah lights, so, you know, theoretically, one could, there are any number of ways you could light it. So people could light a candle. The preferred way is to light the olive oil. But whatever the case may be, what are you going to put it in? What are you going to put it in? So let's say a person were to say, you know, here it is, it's the fifth night of Hanukkah. I don't have a menorah. I have to light five lights. So what I'm going to do is, I happen to have let's say the sixth night of Hanukkah. So I have a six pack of beer, and the bottles I have already consumed, and I have the bottles. I have the empty bottles. So what I'll do is I'll fill up. Or perhaps, you know, I could vary it and take from each night a different brand, right? And I'll line up six bottles, fill them up with water, put some oil on top of it. The oil flows to the top. Put in a wick, and I will light, and thereby I will have my Hanukkah lights. Now, the fact is that there is no question that that would work. Obviously, if you tried it, it would work. But the idea here is that the mitzvah is not being done in a covetous way. It's not respectful. It's not respectful to the mitzvah. So therefore, this would be the same thing, like the showcase. You know, he's taking the dirt and he's kicking it over the blood. So to say, you know, I have to do it, so I'll do it in some way of bizoyim. This would be just one example which comes to mind, and the reason it comes to my mind is because I've seen it. So I just want to point out that this would be an example, I believe, which would be similar to the Kisei Adam. Now, another form in which this halacha comes up is another form of bizui mitzvah would be a person using the mitzvah for his own purposes. A person using the mitzvah aside from what the mitzvah was intended for, but he's going to use the mitzvah for something else. So for example, the Gemara speaks on the bottom of this page, but in the interest of saving time, I'll just paraphrase. Right, we have a halacha in the Torah of Maaser Sheni, that in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, so a Jew, a farmer, had to give, depending on which year it was, there was an agricultural cycle of years, but the farmer would have to take 10% of his produce and take it up to Yerushalayim and spend time in Yerushalayim and eat it. the point of the mitzvah was not that he should eat the produce per se, but that he should go up to Yerushalayim. So in order to get people up to Yerushalayim, which was the center of spirituality, certainly in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore to get that inspiration, the Torah has a mitzvah of Ma'aser Sheni. So now, the practical difficulty with this mitzvah is that if I'm a farmer and I have produce, so what happens if I can't plan my trip for several months? And by the time I'm able to make the trip, the produce is going to spoil, it's going to rot. So what do I do about that? So the halacha, the Torah says, that what a person could do is that a person could transfer the sanctity of the mitzvah onto coins. That he could take coins and say that, okay, I have, let's say, $100 worth of produce, which is Ma'aser Sheni, and that has to be taken to Yerushalayim, but I can't get there for another 2 months. So therefore, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to redeem the Ma'aser Sheni produce with coins, and transfer the sanctity onto the coins, and then I will take these coins to Yerushalayim, and I will spend them on food there. This is something which is allowed, this was common practice, due to practical reasons. So the Gemara says, so let's say in the old days, coins were not like they are today, where they're minted in a certain way, each one exactly the same as the next. In the old days, coins were not a precise type of thing. And therefore, there were times that a person needed to determine the value of a coin. So let's say a person has a coin, and he wants to know how much silver is in this coin. But he knows that he has another coin, which he knows exactly how much silver it is, but that coin has the Kedusha of Ma'aser Sheni on it. He has already used that coin to transfer the Kedusha, the sanctity of the Ma'aser Sheni onto the coin, and now he wants to take this Ma'aser Sheni coin and use it as a weight on a scale that this is, I'm going to put my new coin on the other side of the scale, and I'll put the Ma'aser Sheni coin on this side, and to see how my new coin stacks up. So this, the Gemara says, is also an example of Bizui Mitzvah. Because of the fact that the coin that he has, that the Ma'aser Sheni coin has a certain Kedusha to it. Because it's being used for a mitzvah. So if it's being used for a mitzvah, a person cannot make use of that mitzvah for himself. This is what's mentioned in the Gemara. A similar, but not exactly the same, example of this comes up, and this was in the title of the shir, a person who wants to read by the lights of the Hanukkah menorah. If a person lights the menorah, so we know the halacha is well known that you're not supposed to derive any benefit from the Hanukkah lights. You're not supposed to. By us, it's not such an issue because we have electricity, so you just have lights in your house anyway. So how are you really going to ever derive benefit from the Hanukkah lights? Not such a big deal by us. But in the old days, right, when it got dark at night and the person didn't have lights in his house, so the Hanukkah menorah provided a valuable source of illumination. So the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch says, I didn't put this on the sheet, but this is found in Siman Tav Reish Ayin Gimel in the Hilchos Hanukkah. The Shulchan Aruch says that a person is not allowed to read by the lights of the Hanukkah menorah. And the chiddush here is that even though this is even in a certain sense even a greater chiddush than what we have by the meister, because of the fact that in this situation that he's not really using the light itself. In other words, by the meister coin, I'm using the physical coin. By the light of the menorah, so it's sort of like an indirect type of thing. There's light. It's not like I'm taking the light and taking the fire and cooking with it or something. I'm not using the fire per se. It's just the result of the fire is that there's light, and I'm standing and reading by the light. Nevertheless, the halacha is that a person is not allowed to do such a thing. And the Gemara says that it's brought in Shulchan Aruch that a person cannot stand even from the distance, even if it's not apparent that you're benefiting from the light, but even from the distance, for a person to count his money, lahar so small, the Gemara says, it's on the page of the handout on the first sheet, that a person is not allowed to do anything like that, again, because this is visa mitzvah.
Yeah.
Oh, see, if you do, that's a good question. So what if you're doing another mitzvah with the light? So here, this is discussed in the poskim, it's brought, this is actually a machlokas, that I believe is in this simin of Tafresh Ayin Gimel. Just a moment. Here there's a machlokas. I believe the minhag is that we don't do it even for another mitzvah. But there are poskim that say that for another mitzvah would be okay. There are two opinions. That is, if you just give me a second. Now I'm going to get to in a second. To use it for a totally different mitzvah, I to be honest with you, it's a machlokas. I don't remember how we come out. But to learn, in other words, the question would be, can you sit down and learn by the Hanukkah menorah? That's the question. The minhag is that we don't do it. So in other words, a person to open up a chumash or a gemara or whatever and sit down by the Hanukkah menorah, assuming he had no other light. So I believe the minhag is we don't do it. But the fact of the matter is that this is another example of bizui mitzvah. Where is the degrading of the mitzvah taking place? Because you're using it for your own purpose. To use a mitzvah for your own purpose is something which is considered, it's not respectful to the mitzvah. And therefore, this is one of the reasons that's brought down why we have the institution of the shamash when we have a menorah, so they always put an extra candle, and the reason for that is so that candle should be the one that you use. You don't use any of the Hanukkah lights. Okay, another example, staying on the Hanukkah topic, there is a big discussion in the Gemara whether a person, Madlikin Miner Liner, whether a person can light from one Hanukkah candle to the next Hanukkah candle. In other words, this is a question how exactly you would do this, because there's a big question whether once you lit the first one you can pick it up and move it. But the fact of the matter is, let's just assume that the wicks were long enough that without moving the first Hanukkah light, you could go ahead and light the second candle without moving it out of its place. And if you had very, very long wicks, that would be an example. So here, this is also a discussion in the Gemara, and here the halacha is that this we would allow, madlikin miner l'ner, this we say is allowed. However, it's only allowed if you would light it from one candle to the next. From one candle to the next. So the in other words, if a person, this is commonly comes up, if you light a menorah, and let's say you lit the first candle, and then someone else had a menorah, and it was their turn, you know, a child in the family or whatever, it was their turn to light, and they needed a light for their shamash. So can you stick the shamash candle of the second person into the first person's light to catch on fire? So the halacha is that if you want it from a shamash, you can do whatever you want. However, if, let's say, the first person who lit the menorah for some reason did not have a shamash, so on the first night of Hanukkah, the father lit a menorah, and it just had that one light, so that's what he lit. And then it's the child's turn, and he says, I need a light. So he wants to go ahead and take a light from the menorah, so there it would not be allowed. Because of the fact that the light that you're taking, this candle, is not going to ultimately be one of the Hanukkah lights. This child is using it as his or her shamash. So therefore, this would be taking a light from an existing mitzvah to be used for something that's not going to be for a mitzvah per se. This would also be an example of bizui mitzvah. It happens to be that, just for the record, that as far as the madlikim miner l'ner, can you do it from one to the next? The Ramah brings the halacha that our minhag is that we don't do that either. So therefore, we don't take any lights. We don't take any lights from the Hanukkah menorah, and therefore, and this would be again an example of bizui mitzvah. Go ahead.
But the same thing applies to Ner Shabbos.
So Ner Shabbos, the question whether it applies Ner Shabbos is one is certainly allowed to, you know, do things by the Ner Shabbos because that's what it was. That's why it's there. The whole mitzvah of lighting candles on Shabbos, the person should have light in his house on Shabbos. So there we can't say that, you know, so as far as lighting from one candle to the next, it would be the same. However, as far as reading or something like that, so obviously a person, you know, or making use out of the light for some other benefit without, you know, moving it, obviously, that would be allowed, because there the mitzvah is made for that purpose. But when it comes to Chanukah, it's different. The Chanukah lights are not there for that purpose. It's made to commemorate a miracle, and therefore it has to be left the way it is. And your person is not allowed to derive any benefit from it. And the reason is, there are several reasons given the Polskim, but this is one of the big reasons. One of the big reasons is because the Bila mitzvah. Because you're going ahead and using a mitzvah for your own purposes, that's considered disrespectful. Okay? Now, this would apply also, another example would be if a person wants to use the strings of his tzitzis. Right, the old custom that people have when they have something they have to remember is they tie a string around their finger. So let's say a person decides that I'll take one of the strings of my tzitzis for that purpose. So again, you're using the mitzvah for your own purpose. It's considered a bizayon, and here we have to realize it's considered a bizayon even if you're not using it in the way that we would consider a bizayon. In other words, you say, well, what's disrespectful about that? What's so bad? What, it's so terrible if I use the light of a Hanukkah menorah. I'm not doing anything degrading, right? I want to count out money to give to the sucker. So what should be bad? The answer is because the degradation is simply in the fact that you're using it for your own purposes. And this halacha even extends in a mitzvah which is made for your personal use. For example, we come every year to sukkahs. So a sukkah, the structure of a sukkah is a chefetz shel mitzvah. The sukkah itself is a mitzvah. So therefore, a person cannot use it for its own purposes. Here, people have the lightweight sukkahs to allow the air to come in, but up north, where people have wooden sukkahs, right? So let's say on Kol Moed for entertainment, one wanted to play racquetball against the wall of the sukkah. Right? You say, well, that perfect sukkah is entertainment. I have the sukkah here anyway, right? My backyard, so perfect. So this would not be allowed. Not only that, but we have the halachas in sukkah itself. This is in the Shulchan Aruch that a person is not allowed to wash his dishes, even though a sukkah is considered like your house. So you'll say, well, if it's like my house, I do a lot of things in my house. But nevertheless, there are certain things which are considered zayon that you can't do in a sukkah, even though the sukkah is like your house. So the Shulchan Aruch brings a person cannot wash dishes. In the sukkah, a person finishes eating, should take out the dirty plates right away, should not leave them lying around, because of the fact that the sukkah is a bar mitzvah, and here, even though you're allowed to use it, it's made for that purpose. The sukkah is my house. The sukkah is my house. But nevertheless, this is considered a beasley mitzvah. And so too, this halacha would extend to a person doing something else in a sukkah which is inappropriate. So for example, to sit in a sukkah and to speak Lashon Hara, right? To sit in a sukkah and you invite company, invite old friends, come to the sukkah, and now we're going to sit around and sit and gossip and sit and speak Lashon Hara and say, well, I'm doing the great mitzvah of sukkah. That's true. But this is a inappropriate use of the mitzvah. It's inappropriate use. This is not being respectful to the mitzvah. So even though it's very difficult to say that, you know, you have to watch every word that comes out of your mouth in the sukkah per se, but a person should be cognizant of this, that to sit around, you know, the sukkah's like my house. So, you know, you go places where people are very nizar in sukkah, people take their refrigerators into the house and into the sukkah, people move furniture into the sukkah. So let's say a person says, I'll move my TV set into the sukkah. After all, Teshvu Kain Taduru. My sukkah should be like my house. And therefore I'm going to sit on a couch and watch the dolphin on Sunday Chol HaMoed. Right? So the answer is, it would seem that this would also be inappropriate. Even though you say, well, I'm doing what the halacha is. The spirit of the law is that the sukkah is like my house, but this really is against the spirit of the law, because it's a davar shebikdusha. It's a davar shebikdusha. It's a holy thing. This is a mitzvah. This is God's mitzvah. So to go ahead and use it for a person's own needs is not considered appropriate. Okay, moving along. We have another example. Yes. Are you using, that's a good one. Yeah, are you using the towels to clean your glasses? Right, a common thing that you can do when nobody's looking, right, is that you take off your glasses, give them a little, right, we all know different uses that we can make from various mitzvahs, right, so yeah, that would also be an example of something that a person should not do. Yeah, I get that. Okay, so now another application of degrading a mitzvah, which commonly comes up, is taking a mitzvah out of use, retiring something that could be used for a mitzvah. Most commonly this comes up if a person is moving out of their home or their apartment or their house or whatever, and they're moving to another location, so you want to take your mezuzahs with you. Right, after all, I spent so much money on the mezuzahs, so I would like to take them and put them in the new place. Yet the halacha is that it depends, the situations vary, but simply stated, a person can't do that. Because you can't retire the one of the reasons, there are two reasons brought down, but one of the reasons, which was said by a very early authority, Rabbi Chai Gong, says that the reason you can't take a mezuzah off your door is because of the fact that you are sending the mezuzah into retirement, into premature retirement. This mitzvah could still work. This mezuzah could still work. So the next guy will have it. The next Jew that's walking in will have it. So what are you taking it off for? Right? It's still in its prime, this mezuzah. Why? Just because you're leaving, you take the mezuzah with you? So now, of course, if this were the only reason, if this would be the only reason, then you would have the right to say, but I'm not retiring it because I'm going to take this mezuzah and put it up in my next place. So it's not going to be retired. However, this is not the only reason that's brought down. But the fact that, so therefore, should it ever happen, one should consult with his rav to see, you know, the exact, if the situations vary. But the fact is that to just simply say, all right, so let's say he's going to take off the mezuzah and the place he's moving into is a smaller than what he used to have. In other words, he had 10 mezuzahs in his old home and now he's moving into a smaller home. So I'm going to take it off and it's going to go into retirement. Right, that's it. I have no use for it anymore. So this is disrespectful to the mezuzah because it was working. It was there. It was in use. So now to take it out of use is considered, this is brought in the poskim of these mitzvah.
I moved to a house 3 months ago and it was, had like 25 mezuzahs.
Yeah.
All separately. I'm a rough city.
Okay, so that's something else. So that's a question. So the ins and outs of this halacha requires the shear in itself. The ins and outs of this situation, even if you leave the mezuzahs up, you technically have the right to charge the incoming person for the mezuzahs. In other words, you can't take them down. Doesn't mean you have to give it to him as a gift. Doesn't have to be a house gift, a moving in gift. You could say, look, I have beautiful mezuzahs up there, and you know, the halacha is that they have to stay there, so really the right thing would be that you should compensate me for that. So that a person would have the right to do. But the fact is that if there's a halachic concern, in other words, if you think the mezuzah that isn't acceptable, the one that was there, or if it's not compatible with your minhag, because mezuzahs and sifrei Torah and tefillin, there are three different hands. There are three different ways of making the letters. There are three different forms of ksav, and therefore Ashkenazim have one ksav, and Sfarim have another ksav, and the Hasidim have a third ksav, and therefore there could be, you know, you could say, well, this isn't compatible with me. That's something else. But in terms of if the mezuzah is a valid mezuzah, it's a very big question if it could be taken down. Okay, the next area, the final area which I would like to discuss, is to treat a mitzvah in a derech bizoyim, to actually go ahead and degrade the mitzvah. Okay, in other words, until now we spoke about not doing it with frivolously or not using it, but now there are certain situations where a person could actually be degrading the mitzvah. And one of them, a very common example, would be a person who wears a talis which today the custom is, the style is that the people buy talesim that cover almost their entire body, head to toe. Now, it used to be, people years ago, the talesim were a little bit smaller in size, but today the custom is to get a full body length talus. So the issue that could come up is that the tzitzit drag on the floor. In other words, that he sweeps the floor every time he walks around during davening because the tzitzit are dragging on the floor. So this would be a question of a bizlei mitzvah. In other words, you can't do that because the tzitzit are from a mitzvah. So if they're from a mitzvah, you can't just go ahead and you have to be careful about that. So the fact that it's stylish to have such a talus, or the fact that, you know, a person wants to have that, in a certain sense, it's mehudar halachically because it covers his whole body. But on the other hand, you run into this issue of the tzitzis dragging on the floor. Okay, another example of this would be that we have it here. We have here on the second sheet, side B, from the Shulchan Aruch, the Simen Chaf Aleph in Arachayim, the Shulchan Aruch says that what happens to tzitzit once they become unusable? What does one do with them? So now we have to know that in the halacha there is a distinction that's made between what's called Tashmishe Kedusha and Tashmishe Mitzvah. We have a halacha that the Gemara tells in Megillah that Tashmishe Mitzvah Nizrokin, Tashmishe Kedusha Nignazim. That certain things that we have that we use for mitzvahs have inherent intrinsic Kedusha. For example, Tefillin, or a Sefer Torah, or a Mezuzah. So those types of things, when they go out of use, that you have to treat them with great respect, and therefore they have to be put either into geniza, meaning they have to be put away in a respectful manner, or they get buried in the ground. But that is only true about a limited number of things. But most items that we use for mitzvahs, for example, a lulav, right? So a lulav is a holy thing for 7 days a year, right, or 8 days, whatever. But the fact is that once sukkah is over, a lulav is a palm branch. It doesn't have kedusha anymore. Its kedusha is limited in time. So technically, the halacha is technically that because it has no intrinsic kedusha, one could take the lulav and throw in the garbage after sukkah. You couldn't do it on sukkah, even if you had another one, because of the fact that right now this is Tashmishe Mitzvah. This lulav is the lulav that I'm using to perform the mitzvah, so therefore I can't. Now on sukkahs it's active, but once sukkahs ends, so it's over. So theoretically, one could take it and throw it out. One could take an old talus and throw it in the garbage because of the fact that I have no use for it anymore, and it has no intrinsic kedusha. By tefillin, there is an intrinsic kedusha in the tefillin, so therefore that never goes away. Even if the tefillin were to become puzzled, the ink begins to crack, and you can't really fix it. Nevertheless, it retains the kedusha. But by tashmishe mitzvah, the halacha is technically you could throw it out. However, we have here the long established practice that is brought in the poskim that even by such things one should not just throw them out because of the fact that it's not right. You use this for a mitzvah and now it's over, so now you just toss it. So that is not right. So therefore we try the established practice that we have is once something is used for a mitzvah, we try to use it for another mitzvah. So there are a lot of people who will try to retain their lulav and hold it until Erev Pesach to burn with the chametz. Of course, any man who does this has to hide it from his wife because that's not one of the popular minhagim by women to leave these things lying around once it's over. But the fact is that this is the practice that we have. And so too tzitzis that rip, it's brought down the old custom that people would use this as bookmarks. They would place it in svarim to use it as a bookmark. All of this stems from the din that it shouldn't be shalotahei hamitzvus bezuyas olav. So all these types of things, when we have a davish al mitzvah, and the same thing applies to a sukkah and applies to schach, and it's a big question, you know, what do you do? You know, in many shuls, the practice is that on Hoshana Rabbah, after people finish shaking the lulav for the last time, and after they bang the Hoshanas, so what they do is they take the lulav and they put it on top of the Aron Kodesh. This is an old practice. You still see it, you know, depending on how fancy the shul is, you see it. But I remember as a child always being amazed by the miraculous event that Hoshana Rabbah morning, the top of the Aron Kodesh would be piled high with all the lulavim, and then you would come back that night to begin Shemini Atzeret, and somehow they're all gone. Right? So what a miracle. The shul, a hand must have come down from heaven and picked up all of these things and taken them because they were used for a mitzvah. So the reality is that the caretaker of the shul takes and throws in the garbage. Right? That I don't want to let out any secrets. My father was a rabbi, so I tell you that this is what really happens. But the fact is that here at least the Jew didn't do it. In other words, I didn't do it. Even that's an accomplishment. In other words, in a situation where by nature it has to be disposed of, it's not practical. What are you going to do? So at least we say, let somebody else do it. I'm not going to be the one to do it. Yes, yes.
How hard was the concept, for example, applied to something like filling bags? The filling bag is used for...
Yeah, so that's brought down. The filling bag is considered... Some of these things are considered hashmisha kedusha.
Well, why would they be filling bag with...
Yeah, you can't throw it out. You cannot throw it out. That's even a higher status with served tefillin. Funny that served tefillin is considered, oftentimes, is considered on the same madrega as tefillin. It's very questionable. That's not even what I'm saying here, where it's just a minhag. That's a halacha. People don't realize this. But I'm saying in general, but even the general concept, something that was used for a mitzvah, don't just disregard it. Just to finish up, Rabotei, a few more points. We have along the lines of not disgracing a mitzvah is a person wearing a talis cannot go into the bathroom. Right? A person who needs to use the bathroom in the middle of davening, a talis cotton, the halacha is you're allowed to leave on. And the poskim say that is true even where the strings are worn out. Right, that a person is allowed to, even though they will say, well, I'm wearing the strings out, that's a real disgrace, it's exposed to what's in the bathroom, but nevertheless, there the halacha is that one is allowed to leave it on. But a talis gadol, a person is obligated to take off before going into the bathroom, and so too, and this will come as a surprise to some people, so too a kittel that a person wears on Yom Kippur, when you daven, is not allowed to be worn into the bathroom. Because of the fact that the people think, well, it's not a talis, you don't say a bracha on it, that may be true, but the fact is that since it's miyuchad l'tefillah, since it is designated for this purpose, it cannot be taken into the bathroom. Yeah? What?
It's not true now, but you wear other times.
You wear what?
The
kittel. When else do you wear it? When else? That's also permitted. That's what's miyuchad for tzara and tefillah. Something that's miyuchad for holy, a person doesn't wear a kittel when he's reading paper. Right? In other words, a person wears a kittel only at times that he's doing a mitzvah. So therefore, Mishpura says that the kittel takes on, this is actually, I think it's on the page of the handout, that the Mishnah Brura says, just a minute, it's the bottom line. Yeah, that's right. It's actually cut off, but on the very bottom line, it says, Mulvashim b'kittel tzarech she'yifsho, that kittel carries on to the next page, that a person wearing a kittel has to take it off. Okay, and finally, another example, to do a mitzvah in a way that it appears that the mitzvah is not pleasant to me. For example, the Gemara says, this is a remarkable Gemara, Maseches Pesachim, we have it here on the sheet, on the second side one, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, just very quickly, Arbat Tzvachos Tzavchu Azara, that there were four times that the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash cried out in anguish. And one of them was, the Gemara says on the second line, Say Mikan Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Koi. There was a Kohen whose name was Yisachar. It came from Kfar Bar Koi. So the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash cried out and said, "Get this man out of here. Take this coin." That's a nice way to, you know, that's when you know it's time to look for another line of work, right? The Azara itself yells out, "Get this coin out of here." Why did it say that? Why did it say that? So it says, because of the fact, says the Gemara, "Shemechabed es atmo u'mechalo kotshe shamayim," because he's more concerned with himself than with the karbonos. Why, says the Gemara, "The havikarech yodei b'shiroi v'ovid avoda," because the avoda that the Kohanim do in the Beis Hamikdash, so it can be messy. You're dealing with slaughtering animals and sprinkling blood, so it's messy. So what did he do in the spirit of what would we do today? You go get yourself a box of gloves, right, and you put on the gloves, and you know, this way I'm going to get my hands dirty, right? Everything is sterile. So this is what he did. He put on this coin, right? He predated what we have today. He went ahead and wrapped his hands in what we would consider like a glove. And he did the avoda. That way, when he's done, his hands don't get dirty, Kashashon, and then when he's finished the avoda, he pulls it off and he's all ready to go. So the Gemara says that the Beis Hamikdash itself cried out, "Get this man out of here." Because of the fact that this is a disgrace. Because they're dealing with the Kodesh Shemayim, you're dealing with Karbonos, you're dealing with one of the main conduits of the relationship between people and God, and you don't want to get your hands dirty? This is a great mitzvah. So you can get your hands dirty, so what? So what? But you're doing a mitzvah. It's a great honor to do this. And so too, the Shulchan Aruch says this would apply when it comes to the Arba Minim. If a person, let's say, "I don't want to hold the Esrog in my hand because I don't want the smell to come onto my hand." Right, so the Torah says, so what's he going to do? He'll take a plate and put the esrog on a plate, and I'll hold the esrog. I'll make sure it's upright so that it's not a problem. It's pointed in the right direction, and I will hold the esrog on a plate. Now, technically, one could fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah by doing that, because we hold l'kicha al-yidei davar achash mo l'kicha, that would be considered acceptable technically, but this is considered an unacceptable act, because you don't want to get, you're doing a mitzvah, so who cares what the consequence is? So you're going to have to wash your hands afterwards, so maybe you'll get dirty from doing this mitzvah. So what? A person who says, "I won't do it because of these concerns," is honoring himself and putting aside a mitzvah. What's that?
Kaparos.
Okay, it's a minhag, but okay, in a certain sense you could apply it to that too. Let me just finish up because I'm over already the time. Finally, a shiloh which comes up here very, very often asked question, and that is, in a hot climate such as here, can a person wear a talus cotton directly on his skin? Can a person wear a talus cotton directly on his skin? Right, that people do it all the time. Right, they're in a place, you go up north, people commonly wear undershirts. At least yeshiva students, you don't hear the shiloh ask too much. But here, where it's very common due to the heat, that people, you know, would not wear anything under their shirt. So therefore, but I want to put tzitzis under my shirt. So now the question is, is there anything wrong? So on the one hand, you'll say, what should be wrong with that? I mean, I'm wearing the tzitzis, where's the sanitary? You can't wear it on your skin. But the concern is that you're using this as your undershirt. In other words, the purpose of an undershirt is that it absorbs the sweat of a person's body. A person who would wear tzitzis directly on his skin, so the tzitzis are getting sweated up, not the strings, but the baget is getting sweated, and therefore one could make the argument that this would not be considered acceptable, that this would also fit into the category of Bizna Mitzvah. The halacha is that we are lenient in this shiloh. Even though Rabbi Mordechai Elio was machmir in this point, and he had a tshuva that he said that one should not do this out of this concern, but the fact is that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and many other people say that it's okay. It's not, I'm not 100% sure why. In other words, it could be that if a person would really get sweated up, if you're going to go out in the heat and go dig ditches or play ball, when it's really going to be an undershirt, then there would be a question. Then it might be better either put the tzitzis on top or put on an undershirt, or perhaps even don't wear them. But the fact is that I guess the reasoning is that commonly speaking it's not such a big deal. So therefore the consensus of the poskim is that a person is allowed to wear the tzitzis directly on the skin. There are those people that are machmir, but essentially we hold that as one.